Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Here again, it is so good. I can't believe we're in 2023 already. Ah, it's just, we got here so quick, didn't we? Just so quick, so quick. If you're online, special welcome to you guys. Tell us what dreams do you have for 2023? If you've got a phone and you're in the chat, you can jump in the chat and just maybe put your dreams in there as well and share with the church that are joining us online, because we all are the church, and no matter where we are around the world, we can actually join in and be the church today. And so I want to know what your dreams, what your hopes are for 2023. You can put them in the chat, and as I said, I'll read them later, and if you're in the room, you can tell me later on, or you can jump on your phones and do that, or your tablets, or whatever you've got. Maybe you've got a New Year's resolution. I'd love to hear that. I stopped setting New Year's resolutions a long time ago, basically because I had, you know, the first year lose 10 kilos, then it was lose 5 kilos the following year, then it was lose 1 kilo, and then after that it was gain 1, gain, anyway, you know how it works. So I stopped setting resolutions. Hey, I just want you to do something for me really quickly as I set up my notes. Can you turn to the person next to you and just say, "You look better than you did last week. I am so glad I'm sitting next to you." Can you do that? Now you better turn to the person on the other side and just tell them they look better than last week too, and sorry you didn't pick them first. Maybe can you do that quickly for me? That'll be good. Oh, it's good, it's good. Oh, so, so good. If you have been in the Southwest Salvos for a while, or you've been streaming us for a while, or you've been connected for a while, you know that from time to time, I will preach a sermon series called "If I Had One Last Thing to Say to You," or "One Last Prayer." Now, the idea behind this is if I die, what would be the last thing I would want to say to you? Now, I'm not dying, just putting it out there. And I'm not leaving, I'm not going anywhere either. You're stuck with me. I know some think that's a good thing and some think that's a bad thing, but you're stuck with me. But the idea is this: if I had one last prayer, one last thing, one last something to tell you, what would that be? And I think I've done, like, this is part number 17,000. I don't know. It's about part six, I think. And on this New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, at the start of 2023, I kind of combed the scriptures for you. I did some work. I actually read my Bible. I hope you guys do that too. I'm in a weird mood. This should be fun. So I read my Bible and I picked out a scripture that I thought was a good word for me. And I'm praying it's a good word for you as well. All right, so before I tell you what that is, and before I tell you what the prayer is that I would pray for you for 2023, before I do any of that, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into a bit of, I want to tell you a story, actually, and then look at a bit of scripture, and then I'll give you what the prayer is. Is that all right? No, who said no? Yes. Was it you, Nola, at the back there? Come on. I tell you, she's in a funny mood too. That's all right. It's all good. Let me pray. Let's get into it. Father God, at the start of 2023, we just come before you and we want to thank you for all that you're doing in us, in our church and in our community. We thank you for saving us from darkness and bringing us into the light, saving us from our sin and our shame and our wrong and all the things that are terrible, and giving us life and life to the fullest. Lord, there is no one like you. You're the real deal. You're the real thing today. Only you can make the things happen that we see sometimes in our world. Only you spoke the world into existence. Only you could do some of these things, and so only you deserve our worship today. Lord, as we dive into the scriptures, as we share some time together, just teach us something. Unzip our hearts and our souls and just speak to our spirits. Like, just Holy Spirit, run amongst us in this place. Make us holy, righteous warriors for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, a few years ago, I've been here for a few years now, so about a decade ago, we got to Kalgoorlie, and in Kalgoorlie there's this big mining conference that happens called Diggers and Dealers. Right, it's a massive conference, and it generally is about 4 days, and people just swarm into town, and it's like $2,000 a ticket or something to get into the place, and they feed you the whole time. I never went. I couldn't afford that much. I'm not into mining either, so. But, you know, you get all the mining machinery and all the bits, and it's a big thing. But the second year we were there, first year, second, it doesn't matter. One of the years we were there, the catering people of the mob that were there gave me a call and said, "Do you want our leftover food each day?" And I was like, "Absolutely," you know. They said, "Oh, we got some steaks and stuff." These were like filet mignon steaks, and my son calls them flaming mignons, but filet mignons. And a good steak. It was really good. Top of the line, $50, $60 steaks type deal. Anyway, there was trays upon trays upon trays upon trays of food. And so at 2 o'clock every day, we'd go down, pick it up, and we would box it all up, freeze it, or give it away, and try and do what we could with it, right? And just get it out to the community. And it was great. And so for the first 4 or so years, that's how it happened. 2 o'clock came, we would go down there, we'd pick the food up, we'd go back to the centre, I'd call all these volunteers in, and we would box it all up. It was great. And then 2 o'clock the following day, 2 o'clock the following day, and, you know, get to the end of the conference, and the last day we pick it up in the morning, and we're done. Well, about the fourth or fifth year I was there, I got a call at 2 o'clock. We did our pickup at 2 o'clock. New catering company, but they heard that we got all the stuff. They called me at 10 o'clock at night and said, "Can you come down and pick up this food? We need the trays and stuff for tomorrow. We didn't bring enough trays." Do you know how hard it is to find 20-odd people to help you box stuff up at 10 p.m. at night? Like, it's near on impossible, and I try not to wake people up at that time of night. Like, so here's me, and there was two people that I knew I could ring at any given time. And so I gave him a call. I said, "Look, guys, what are you doing for most of the night? I've just got this food. There's like 50-something-odd big bain-marie trays. We need to box it up into Chinese containers. Can you come and help me? I won't be there, though, until 11 because I've just got the call at 10 and I've still got to get the bus, go there, pick it up and bring it back to the centre. So can you meet me at 11 p.m. at night and we'll just start boxing?" We were there until about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning boxing food up, three of us, right? And like me, I didn't want to waste the food. Like, they were just going to chuck it out. I didn't want that to happen. It was good food. So there was this other three of us. And I think that night when they were there, like getting people to help out, and I'm grateful. And look, if you helped us out with Christmas cheer in the last 2 weeks, by the way, we gave away like tens of thousands of dollars to thousands of people, and over Christmas it was great, and we massive, great, positive campaign. So thank you very much for all those helped. But it's one thing to thank everybody who helped and be gracious and all that. But these guys went above and beyond. Like, and I must have said thank you to them about 30 times that night, because it was 11 o'clock at night, and if it was to be me by myself, I would have been there till 8 a.m. in the morning, right? So I was so, 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 so grateful and thankful for these two people, right? So grateful, so thankful. And I think I remember this story because I remember, and I've just gone through Christmas, and I remember everybody helping us at Christmas, and that, and again, thank you for those who helped. And then I remembered this story out of Scripture, and I think when I go through the story, you'll start to see how I put all this together. But I want us to have a year of gratitude. Does that make sense? To be thankful for stuff. So this passage talks about that, but actually we're going to slightly deviate a little bit from it. But I want you to hear the thankfulness of this guy first and foremost. And I want us to be a group of people who are thankful for everything. We have so many reasons to celebrate, so many reasons to just praise God. So I want us to hear that first off. But then, as I said, I read this story and there's just some good stuff in it that I just want to pull out, because there's some lessons that this guy can teach us about being thankful, but also our response to it all. Make sense? And then I'll link it all together right at the end. Here we go. If you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 17. You can go there if you've got your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, you can grab one from the shelf. It's yours to keep. Take it with you. We got the words up on the screen, so we got you covered there as well if you didn't want to bring a Bible or come down to the front. If you've memorized the entire Scriptures, you could just show off, close your eyes and just recite it with us. That's perfectly fine. I'll let you do that. But we're going to go through this story. It's a very famous story, a story of the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers, if you know the story, right? Luke 17, verse 11. Are you ready? Okay, six people are ready. I'm glad I put this together. Are you ready? That's much better. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus is in the border between two regions, but I wish I had a map. He's really in the middle of nowhere. He's in the middle of nowhere. And it kind of makes sense because he's just about to encounter these 10 lepers. And lepers were not meant to be in any major cities or towns and stuff like that. They had leprosy, right? They were shunned out. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want you to note where Jesus is going at this point. He's going, where's the scripture gone? Can we have the scripture? There we go. He's going, no, back one scripture, please. Back one scripture. He's going on his way to Jerusalem. He's actually heading to the cross. He's actually heading to the place where he's going to get nailed to the cross for our sins and our shame and our wrong. He's on the journey there. And part of me thinks if I was Jesus, I would certainly be more worried about that than what was going on in front of me. But Jesus takes the time to stop and to encounter these 10 lepers on the journey towards. There's a lesson right there straight away about us actually stopping in our journeys and noticing the poor, noticing the broken, noticing those who need help, right? Jesus examples that straight away. Not my main point, but I just pointed out there for some extra, you know, something, something. But in the middle of nowhere, on his way to the cross, he encounters these 10 lepers. Verse 12, now you can go to verse 12. I'll let you know with each verse. He was going into the village. 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance. Now, they stood at a distance because they were considered unclean, right? We know the skin, we know leprosy, we know kind of a little bit about it, don't we? Yes, for the young people in the room, if you don't know what it is, it's basically a skin condition where your body parts start to go, you get infections, your nerves end, and then you go to dip a chip in salsa and your finger falls off. That's leprosy. Body parts would fall off, nerve endings would die, and you would leave fingers in salsas. Like, that's just, if you were lucky with leprosy, you would find other people with leprosy, and you would kind of form a little village, maybe two, three. This particular one was quite big, it was 10, right? And you'd had to live outside the city walls, outside the city gates, outside of the cities. And if anyone who came close to you came close, like within 20 meters, I think it is, according to Deuteronomy, you had to scream out, unclean, unclean, because you were considered lowest of the low. You were nobody wanted to go near you. In fact, you weren't really living, but you weren't dead either. You were the living, walking dead. There was no hope. There was no cure. There was no means of support. And therefore, you were literally waiting to die. That's where these guys are, waiting to die. And in verse 13, they see this guy walking up to him and they see Jesus, so they call out in a loud voice, Master, or Jesus, Master, have pity on us. That's not what they're supposed to call out. They were supposed to call out, unclean, unclean. But instead they call out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. I could just imagine, like, these guys, hi Josh. These guys, the 10 lepers, they had heard stories about this guy, Jesus, who could heal them. They heard stories, like he was the only one ever heard stories about who could heal leprosy, who could heal disease. And so the only hope they had, the only hope, was in this guy, Jesus, right? But they can't go searching for him. And then all of a sudden they're there and they see Jesus walking towards them. So instead of screaming out, unclean, unclean, to try and get Jesus to push away, they actually go, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Master, look at us, we're struggling. Master, look, we need help. Master, look, I need a miracle. I'm all messed up. My body parts are falling off. Master, I need you to do something. So we considered these guys as lepers, as sinners, and they were just sick, and they just were screaming for Jesus to help. Screaming for Jesus to help. Here's my first point. these 10 lepers saw Jesus for who he really was, or is. I should say he's not dead, is. Who he really is. They saw him as God on earth, someone who could do the impossible. Someone who could bring hope in a hopeless situation. They saw Jesus as not this guy that we occasionally sing songs to on a Sunday, or we go to church and we hear a little bit about him, you know, or you know, this guy who, you know, is really cool in history. They saw Jesus for the only one who could bring them hope. The only one who could get them out of trouble, get them healed, get them past this leprosy. And these 10 lepers acknowledged Jesus. They saw Jesus as a man of hope. They looked at him as the Savior that they needed. They saw him as someone who could do something. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have pity on us. They saw Jesus for who he is. That's my first point in prayer, that we see Jesus for who he really is. Not just this guy in history or this guy we kind of talk about at church or think about once a week, but we actually see him as the Son of God, the one who can do all things. Verse 14. When he saw them. Say when he saw them. Oh, you could do better than that. Come on. When he saw them. You see, Jesus didn't ignore them like everybody else would have. Everybody else would have ignored them. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus didn't just hear them and think, well, that's bad luck, sucks for you. Jesus didn't just go, well, clean your life up, get a real job, and then we might talk. Jesus saw them. Say, when he saw them. Oh, come on. I know it's morning, people. You got to help me preach today because this is good stuff. And if you want to hear the rest of it, you got to get excited. Say, when he saw them. Like, I don't know who needs to hear this today, whether they're in the room or online or what, but I want to tell you, Jesus sees you. Whatever you're going through, he's heard your prayers. Whatever your struggle is, he's seen that. Like these four words for me, when he saw them, that feel, man, they're powerful words. Like that fills me with hope. When I'm going through some crap and some junk in my life, I want to know that Jesus sees my struggles. Yeah? Like I want to know that in him I could have, like, he's the guy that could bring hope. Those four words fill my heart with so much hope that I just want to jump up and down and get excited. And you guys are like, yeah, when he sees them. Come on, like, think about this. He saw them. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but someone needs to hear this. He sees you where you're at. He sees you and the struggles you're going through. He sees you when life is falling apart and struggles at work, at school, or at wherever you are. Like, he sees you. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. This right here is an incredible, ridiculous miracle. And I'll tell you why it's ridiculous. It's insanely ridiculous, because you wouldn't go to a priest and show yourself to the priest unless you were clean. But Jesus is saying to them, when they're unclean, to go show themselves to the priests. Right? And as they were going, as they went, they were cleansed. It actually took some faith from these guys to step out into that. Like, that's crazy, right? Jesus is not even there. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't go, okay, now you're clean, go show yourselves to the priest. He goes, no, just go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were clean. All 10 had faith. This is ridiculous, right? Now, let's say you got a broken arm and I say to you, go play some tennis. As you're going, you'll be healed. It's ridiculous, right? Are you not picking, like, this? But more often than not in Scripture, and the more I think about this, this is how God works. He wants us to step out, doesn't he? He wants us to actually get out and start before, like when the people, Moses crosses the Red Sea with the Israelites, they've got the whole armies of people coming against them, the Egyptians, and they're trapped in there, and God parts the Red Sea, you know. God tells Moses to hold up the staff, And as he holds up the staff, then, you know, Red Sea parts. In fact, a number of years later, Joshua's there and he got across the Jordan River, and it's the same thing. But this time he has to actually walk into the river before the river parts. Actually, let's talk about the walls of Jericho. Remember the walls of Jericho for a bit? Let's march around the walls for 6 days. Say nothing. Just march around at once. Like, that's a stupid plan. Like, let's think about it. Then on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. Don't make a sound for 6 times. And then on the seventh time, make some noise, and then the walls will come crumbling down. Yeah, God, are you sure about that plan? It doesn't sound right to me. But for 6 days, they had to do it, didn't they? See, God wants us more often than not to step out. To step out. And then he will do something. Most people in this generation are waiting for God to do something before we will actually believe. We got it the wrong way around. We need to actually start stepping out, have that faith, and then God will do something. Make sense? Oh, verse 15. Woo! We're getting there. Only got 4 or 5 more to go. One of them, say one. One. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. We'll get to the Samaritan bit in a minute. But 1 out of 10, how many of them had faith? It's not a trick question. How many of them actually came back to thank God? So 10 had faith, but only 1 came back. 10 had faith, 1 came back. That's about 10%, right? 10%. 10%. 1 out of 10 came back praising God for what God had done for him. All 10 were healed, but only 1 came back. 1 came back throwing himself at Jesus' feet. 1 came back thanking God for the gift he had just received. And remember, if you had leprosy, you're pretty much the walking dead, right? And now you have life and life where you can integrate back into community and stuff. Like, 1 out of 10 was grateful for what Jesus had done in his life. Is this a sign of what the church is like? That 10 might have faith initially, but only 1 actually thanks God for what he has done. He came back praising God in a loud voice. A loud voice. When was the last time you praised God loudly? Thank you, Jesus! When was the last time you shouted that out? Just asking. I mean, the fact that you got up this morning and you're still breathing. Thank you, Jesus. That's so much to be thankful for. Like, he came back praising God. But this guy understood what it meant to be an outcast. Remember, he's a leper. He's been kicked out of community. He's been kicked out of, you know, his family and home and stuff. He had to scream unclean, unclean. He knew what it meant to be an outcast and be restored. Right? But more than that, it says that he was a Samaritan. So Samaritan was seen as a half-caste or, you know, inferior to the others. And I think he was probably the only Samaritan in this group. So he was an outcast within the outcasts. So he understood more than anyone what it meant to be restored. I'll let you grapple with the fact that Jesus told him to go and talk to the priest, and he actually disobeys that and goes back to Jesus, but you can talk about that later. Verse 17, I just put it out there. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? It's a good question, isn't it? Where are the other 9? That word cleansed in the Greek, I did some reading for you and some research. It is that word there, catharized. That's what cleansed means in the Greek, catharized. It's actually where we get the word catheter from. It's a medical term. It talks about bodily healing, right? Did I get it right? Did I say it right? Yeah, bodily healing, catharized. We go with that. I can't actually speak Greek, so I'm hoping that's pretty close to what it actually is and pronounced. It's a medical term. Weren't all 10 catheterized? healed bodily. Where are the other nine? Verse 18, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? For he said to him, "Go, rise and go, for your faith has made you well." Other versions have, "Your faith has healed you." That word, has made you well, or healed you, or cleansed you, right? They're all different translations of that. Those four words, has made you well, is actually one word in Greek, believe it or not. It's about the only time where English actually shortens, Greek shortens for English. But anyway, it's the word sozo. Say sozo. Sozo. Say sozo. You can do better. Say sozo. It's so much easier than catheterize. Sozo. What it actually means, what this actually means now, is wholeness. Made whole or made complete. It actually is a wholeness of spirit, a wholeness of soul, of mind, of will, of emotion, a wholeness of body. All right? So it's the complete healing, body, mind, spirit, soul, you know, the whole lot. So not just the physical now, but the spiritual and the emotional and the mental, all that. Right? So you've got one lot, the nine, who have a physical healing. And then you have one who has sozo, complete healing. Your faith has made you... We're getting close, we're getting close. We are all lepers. Every single one of us. We've all sinned. We all have dark spots on our souls and our minds. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of God's expectations. We've all messed up. I mean, I don't need to point out each person's stuff, but we know we've told lies. We know that, you know, there is we've taken things that are not ours, whether on purpose or accidentally. Some of us have looked at the opposite sex. Most of, I'd say everybody's done it in one way or another, with lust in our eyes. You know, we've all done something that is opposite to the will of God at some point in our lives. And because of that, we've broken God's perfect standards, and because of that, we can't get into heaven, and therefore we all are being marginalized and kicked out and living outside of that space. Come to church, we'll encourage you. We will, eventually. Don't look so bleak. We'll get there. But Jesus comes along, and this is the incredible thing. Jesus comes along and heals us from our sin and our shame and our wrong when he went to the cross, did he not? When he went to the cross, he exchanged our shame and sin and dirt and changed it for his righteousness and his goodness, and that exchange happened. And therefore, when we present before God, we present wearing Jesus, and Jesus was perfect, and Jesus can get into heaven and therefore restored back into that place. Where are the other nine? Did not the other nine come back? They got a physical healing. But you, the one, the Samaritan, you get a sozo, a full cleaning, a full ride, straight in. And so here's my prayer. You ready for it? Here's my prayer. Let's put it up there. My prayer. No, the I don't know, whatever title it is. Really? Oh. All right, let me read it to you then. My prayer is this, that we are like the one. The one who really knows Jesus. The one who praises him loudly for what he has done. And the one that experiences sozo in our lives. Let me say it again for you. My prayer for us, for me, for you, for us, our church, our network, is this. That we are the one. We are like the one. The one who knows who Jesus really is. The one who praises him loudly. Not just keeping it to ourselves and rocking up on us, but loudly praising him for what he has done. And the one that experiences sozo, complete, total healing in our lives. That is my prayer for me, and that is my prayer for you. At the start of 2023, what a prayer, right? What a prayer that we can have sozo, that we can experience that. Not just get, you know, have a little bit of faith and get a little bit of, you know, healing and a physical thing, whatever, but actually really experience the depth of sozo in our life. That complete wholeness and healing and completion that Jesus offers us. That we know who Jesus is, that we praise him loudly and we experience it in our lives. So what I want to do is I just want to start this year right. And we're going to sing a song called Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And it's a beautiful song, you would all know it. But it's what I really want to do is actually say to you, what's your year going to be like? Are you going to be like the nine? And are you just going to turn up to church, sing some songs, maybe key in with some community, make it, you know, life is going to be a little, you know, it's going to be okay. Have a little bit of faith. Get your physical healing and then not really go anywhere. Or are you going to go all in? Remember how I talked about it takes a little bit of faith. He causes us to have to step into that first before he starts to reveal. Well, I'm asking you, are you prepared to do that at the start of this year? And some of us have been Christians for a long time. And that's okay. Today could be a day where we, afresh and anew, just stand before God and go, God, you know what? Yeah, I want sozo. Refresh that in my heart. Refresh that in my mind. Refresh that in my soul. Maybe you've never thought about making Jesus your Lord and Savior. And that's okay. Maybe today is a day where you step out. You take a little bit of faith and you go, you know what, God, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to start to go to show myself to the world. I'm going to start and have that little bit of faith. And as you go, you will see God start to do some stuff in your life. And when he does, you have a chance then to run back to him and praise him for what he is. And you've got a chance to give your heart to him and experience that sozo in your life. Man, I want everyone. Me included, to know who God really is, to praise him loudly in 2023 for what he's done, and to have that full, complete sozo, that healing, that wholeness in your life. And so if this is you, if God is speaking and God is, and you want to dedicate yourself, whether that be for the 50th time or for the first time, then what I want you to do during as we play this song is stand up where you're at, right? And then right at the end, we're going to pray, but I just... This is my prayer for you. But it takes you having faith in order to stand up, in order to turn to God, in order to make him Lord and Savior of your life. So we're going to sing Amazing Grace. If God is speaking and you want to do that, then I invite you to stand where you're at. Let's sing.